This conference is being recorded.
What is your idea of the perfect fellowship?
I don't know.
No, I don't know if we can use that, because I'm one of the mind that if I ever find the perfect fellowship and I go there, it won't be anymore.
You're going to spoil it. And what we mean by this is we mean a church-like fellowship, not church itself, but a worship-like fellowship of Christians. That was what the original podcast was about. Nobody wants to take that one on?
Well, I think that the perfect fellowship is the members of the My Life Ministry flock with the Right Reverend Bradley McFadden leading the flock.
Yay. Yeah, all right.
He's a very nice boy. He smells nice.
And we all sit around eating buckets of dinosaur.
Focus.
That was the best.
Sharon Gilbert over at PID Radio created that, so I borrowed it. So on a more serious note, perfect church fellowship. I mean, here on earth, you know, there's going to be no perfect church fellowship. But I would like to see a church where children are not necessarily the focal point of the service, but where children have a place in the service rather than being shuttled off to children's church to watch a video or do some crafts or whatever. And the reason being is because, number one, Jesus told us not to send the children away. And additionally, I'm sure he had to deal with a number of distractions when he was preaching to 3,000 to 5,000 people. So I think that in a modern church that a pastor can deal with the distraction of a child. And most parents are smart enough to know that if their baby is wailing at the top of its lungs, that they'll take it out. But the reason I say this is because there seems to be this schism between each generation. And if you look back, to the generation before you, there's this disconnect. And it ought not be there. And I think one of the reasons that's like that is because children today aren't valued in the service as much as they used to be. So in my opinion, for a perfect fellowship, I would like to see children in the service, participating in the service, and really being given the attention that they should be given, because they're the next generation. And if we want to see a strong generation of children that are going to grow up and honor God and continue in the faith, I don't think having them watch VeggieTales videos for 30 minutes or do crafts or whatever it may be is the way to raise a generation that's going to be out there and fired up for God. And anyone who wants to try and put the lid back on that can of worms, good luck.
Yeah, no one agrees with you, John.
Can I respond to that?
We've got a couple of people wanting to respond to this. Jason, you talk to him first, and then Tim, you go next. Go ahead, Jason.
Okay, this is right up my alley. You know,
because you're the youth director, right?
Right. Yeah. This is an ongoing struggle in our church, that I really get tired of people calling the children, you know, the future of the church, or the youth, the teenagers, well, they're the future of the church. And I always make the comment and the comeback that they're the church now. You know, they're here right now, and we need to minister to them right now. And God's right on. I mean, there's so many programs. There's so many, as a youth director, people see my job as entertainment, and they see my job as dog and pony show, and keep, you know, babysit the kids, glorified babysitting is what youth ministry a lot of times becomes. And you know, we have to fight against that, and really have to, you know, show kids what it really is to pray, you know, show kids what it really is to worship, and show kids what it really is to serve in a church. You know, it's just really, it's just so important that we need to do that. And that would be, you know, I have to echo with John that, you know, perfect fellowship is, or include, you know, everyone. Everyone is involved in ministry. Everyone is involved in service. Everyone is involved in all aspects, you know, from young to old. You know, we need to be able to minister to the older folks and to the younger folks, and everybody in between is just so important. Yeah, definitely. Did I say something wrong?
You're in trouble, Jason.
I'm waiting for the trap door. I think I'm going to lightning.
No, you're right.
Okay, Tim, you are also on staff as a youth minister, so what do you have to say in response to all this?
Well, it's this is a continuation of a conversation that started, I believe, over on Theology Rocks, and it was a great conversation. And our church is just getting to the point where we're struggling with this ourselves. The idea that we really want to implement is that we would really like to see families stay together in service. But each family is going to have to make a decision about themselves and about their children as to whether they feel the child can sit there for the hour and a half through church and be engaged to enough that, you know, they can get something out of it, or if, you know, there's certain criteria that each family is probably going to have to put together for itself to determine whether they want to take advantage of the younger children program that we have during church. And we only accommodate up to about 7 or 8 year olds. After that, we really expect them to be sitting in service during service. Now, I'm the youth pastor. I run for teens, 13 to 19. We actually run a separate service on Sunday nights. But we tell the kids as we're going to have this service for you, because it's going to be aimed more at what you're going through in life. We're going to aim the lessons of the Bible and tell you how you can apply the spiritual lessons that we're giving you in everyday life, going to school, dealing with friends, peer pressure, all the things that they deal with, they don't necessarily deal with on a regular basis. But we still expect them to be in church on Sunday morning. But when it comes to bringing small children into church, I'm for it because I like the idea of kids staying together, families staying together. But some kids just aren't up to that challenge. It can be a long, long Sunday morning. So we do have an offering. We just don't tell people they have to send their kids there. We just tell them it's available and they get to make that choice.
Yeah, and I think that's great, Tim, you know, because you're right. I have a couple of my kids right now. There's no way they would be able to sit in service. And I wouldn't expect them to be there no matter what their behavior is. And I think some people sometimes misconstrue my attitude, and I'm not saying that you did, but they misconstrue my attitude of saying, well, children should be in the service no matter what, no matter how they behave, and I don't believe that. I think, you know, God gave them padding in a certain spot so that you can take them out when they're acting up and take care of that, and provide a little attitude adjustment, as well as, you know, there's also, like you said, if there's an option for them to go to a younger area where they can be watched over and they can kind of be allowed to let the ants in their pants dance around for a while, then I think that's a great option. And also the option of having a service for teens at another time other than during the main worship is great too. because there are certain needs that teenagers need to have addressed, and I think with each generation those needs change. And we all know that the wisdom in the Bible is eternal, and that there's no matter what the situation, the wisdom of the Bible can be applied. But sometimes it takes a certain person or a certain technique to apply that to the current generation. And your pastor may not necessarily have that technique or that point of view that's necessary for that. And so something separate from the main service, I think, is a great idea.
Great. One more comment from Gracie, right?
Right. You know, that was like a really big issue for us when we moved from New Jersey to Virginia. In our church searching adventures, one of our biggest obstacles was finding a church that had a very positive Sunday school. You know, I have a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old, and they came from a very strong and close-knit youth group where, you know, they were really ministered to. The Sunday school, I actually was one of the Sunday school leaders for a while, and I had done my own curriculum with the kids just to teach them the basics of Christianity. I mean, like you were saying, you know, you don't want to stick them in front of a VeggieTales video, which was happening sometimes. And when we kind of had some reorganization in there, and I was part of that, everybody kind of just took the ball and in their court, and they ended up, you know, changing things around. And I worked with, you know, a certain age group, and we did like a real Passover feast of what happened at the real first communion and all that. And, you know, the kids got really, really involved, and I wanted my kids to get the same thing so that they were hungry, and it was really hard to find that. Plus, it was hard for my kids to separate, but it was just, it was difficult to go to a church and find them not putting the kids in front of a video. Or, you know, my daughter, my youngest one is 11, and, you know, the first church we went to, you know, they were having her do, like, a coloring sheet, and it was sad to see one person only in charge of that. It just seems like it does get put on the back burner, that it's just kind of a side ministry. And, you know, the glorified babysitter is a term I've heard a lot, because that's very true. You know, the parents, a lot of parents look at it like, oh, this is, you know, a chance for them to watch my kids so I can get fed. But it's so important that these kids get fed. And we can't leave that responsibility really on the Sunday school. We have to really put that on all of us. And it's our responsibility to make sure that our kids are raised up in the Lord. It doesn't say in the scripture, you know, send your kid to Sunday school and they're going to raise them up. It tells us that we're to do that. So I think that, you know, if God hasn't really called anybody specifically like you or me to do that, to get in there and actually be a Sunday school teacher, we need to at least give the support so that wherever it's needed. And we have to, you know, listen. You know, maybe God does want us to do something and we just don't want to do it. You know, God wants to, you know, minister to those kids where they're at, so because they're going to be very effective for him. And eventually we did find a very positive Sunday school for our kids, and my kids are really growing, and you know, and it's wonderful. But that was probably our biggest obstacle, was finding the right Sunday school. So I you know, I definitely have to agree with everything being said.
So that was sort of our perfect fellowship, which spun off into having children in church, which is fine. All about chasing rabbits.
That's all we have for this week. Until next time, you've been listening to Grace Junkies.